Welcome to today's podcast with Crosspoint Church, where we share the gospel and we share our lives. With so many fun and new exciting things going on at church, we want you to be in the loop. So make sure that you check out our Facebook page and that you check out our website at www.crosspointwaverly.com. And now for today's message.
Welcome to 2025. This is the best you've looked all year long so far. Hey, I want to just say, man, thanks for being here Christmas Eve. Man, wasn't that just a great time together as a church, man? That was so fun. 839 people coming together to worship our Savior, man. And I want to say a special thanks to Pastor Levinsky for, man, leading that, putting that together. Man, what a journey that he took us on through that service. So can we just express our thanks and our appreciation to Pastor Levinsky? And man, thank you to all of the volunteers, you know, that sang, that learned and memorized parts, and different staff members that were a part of that. Man, that was just so much fun. I've heard a lot of comments about just how enjoyable that was. And man, I'm looking forward to, you know, what comes this year as well. I also want to say a special thanks from myself and Julia, as well as the rest of the staff and spouse. I want to say thank you. You guys, man, you just love on us so well. So many treats and cookies. Listen, the cookies do not have to stop. I just, you know, I'll throw that out there. You're just so generous, and the cards, the gifts. Thank you so much. We feel so loved and appreciated here as a staff. You guys just do that so well. So give yourself a hand. You're awesome. Wow. You applauded way better for Pastor Levinsky, I'll just say, than you. I also want to say thanks to Mark for his sermon last week. And what a great message of you don't know what you don't know. And that'll hurt you. That can hurt you, right? So thanks, Mark, for filling in last week. You did a great job. And so here we find ourselves, the beginning of 2025, and we're talking about our fasts, our 21 days of fasting and prayer. And some of you probably are already thinking about and made some decisions about, you know, maybe things you're going to change in 2025. Maybe things you're going to do different, or you're going to begin something new. And for some of you, maybe it's a dream for your family. Perhaps you have a child that isn't following the Lord, and your dream is that this year you are going to pray every day for them. You know, for some of you, it might be a marriage that needs some reconciliation, and you're starting out and saying, this is the year that things are going to be different. I'm going to do something about that. For some of you, there might be personal goals that the Lord is already dreaming inside of you to set you free from something that forever has just been this issue, and the Lord is saying to you, like, this is the year, right? Whatever the dream is, whatever it is that God is beginning to speak into you, I want you to hold on to that idea and that thought, because in the next few minutes, I believe that God has something to say about beginning small and watching our dreams come to reality. I think God has something to say about that. You know, at the start of every year, we all kind of do this, where we set new goals. We set, you know, what are my big dreams? What are these audacious things that I want to see happen? And then we all see in February where our dreams are kind of in the corner and they're collecting dust. You know, I came by the church Friday, and as I drove past Gym 24 over here, the place was packed. Like, they were parked in the street, they were parked over in the lot in between. It was packed. And I kind of chuckled to myself, and I said, you know, in a month or two, I wonder if it's going to really be that busy. Because it always happens, doesn't it, where all of a sudden, we set these goals and these dreams aside. It happens. Now, here's why I believe that that happens is because we get overwhelmed by the size of the dream. Like, we see this finished dream and what it could be, and then we look at our small step to begin the process, and the gap seems overwhelming. The mountain just looks too high. And so what happens is we never start the process. You know, in 1948, Mother Teresa began ministry in Calcutta to children, to orphans. And it started by drawing letters in the dirt with a stick. That's how her ministry to bring education to Calcutta slums began, with drawing letters with a stick in the dirt. There was no building, there was no funding, there was no grand organization. But today, the Missionaries of Charity that she founded has over 5,750 people who are leading the charge, serving in 139 different countries. It's a massive impact that all started with a very small step of drawing pictures in the dirt. In church this morning, I want to share a key thought that you can grab hold of, a thought that can transform your approach to every dream that God brings into your life. And that's this: God accomplishes extraordinary dreams through ordinary beginnings. God accomplishes extraordinary dreams through ordinary beginnings. And guys, that's not just a nice saying. That's not something that I want you to walk out of and have a mantra that you repeat. No, it's a fundamental principle that's woven throughout all of Scripture. We can look at, you know, Abraham's journey to the promised land as the father of a brand new nation. It began with the first step to leave Ur. It's where it all started. And we can look at Moses' liberation of Israel and how it all started with really a shepherd's staff. You can look at King David and all that he accomplished as king. It all began as a simple shepherd boy watching sheep. And then, gosh, we can look at how the disciples' worldwide ministry that we call the church today began in an upper room with just 120 people. It's crazy, but today we're going to explore God's word, and we're going to uncover three truths about how God operates. And I want you to understand, number one, that God sees the end from the beginning. The second thing I want you to see today is that his power works through our small beginnings. And the third thing I want you to grasp today is that God promises things for those who faithfully start small. So as we look at the scripture, I believe that some of you today will actually discover that God has been waiting for this moment for you. Not that you would understand the whole plan or the big picture, no, but that today you would decide, I'm going to take that first small step. So let's jump into it. Let's get into the word. I said the first thing I wanted us to look at was this fact that God sees the end from the beginning. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Right away in verse 1, it says, "And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips and on each of the lamps that are on top of it.'" That's our text. And you're all thinking, what in the world does this have to do with anything you've said? Well, let me kind of set the scene here. The Jewish people had recently returned from their exile from Jerusalem, and the temple, Solomon's temple, had been destroyed, completely torn apart, scattered, in fact, scripture says. Their resources to do anything were limited, and they had enemies that surrounded them on all sides. And really, from a human perspective, trying to rebuild the temple in this environment looked impossible. But God doesn't begin with a human perspective, does he? Not at all. He begins with a divine possibility. And I want us to look at what occurs in this passage. See, before a single stone of that new temple was ever laid, Zechariah receives from the Lord a picture, a vision of the finished product. He sees this lampstand. It's golden. It's perfect. It's complete. And what we have to understand is God's not just giving Zechariah, hey, I think it'd be cool inside your church to have this gold lampstand. You should think about that. It had nothing to do with interior decorating tips. What God was revealing was that he could see the finished product before they ever began the work. See, God sees the end from the beginning. Look at what Isaiah says about God in Isaiah 46 in verse 10. He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Friends, this is how God works. When he places a dream in your heart, he already sees the completion of it. See, you might be thinking, man, I just have this dream of a restored and healthy marriage. And you see the fights and you see the hard work and you see the struggles. But what God sees is a restored and healthy and scripturally right marriage. He sees that. When you look at your addictions, when you look at your struggles, man, God sees your freedom. And when we look and we see our kids who are far from the Lord, and we worry and we wonder, listen, God sees them whole in his presence, fully living for him. You have to understand, when it comes to our dreams that God breathes into us, God has perfect vision. He knows where he's taking us. But listen, sometimes we get stuck when we look at our own surroundings, we look at our own circumstances, we look at our own situations, we look at our small beginning, and it just seems so far away from the fulfilled dream. That's exactly what happened to the people in our scripture that we're looking at. The Israelites were getting ready to rebuild. Ezra, in chapter 3, talks about this very same moment in time. And this is what Ezra says, chapter 3, verse 12. It says, but many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, talking about Solomon's temple, they wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation for the new temple that was being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy at the same time. And this verse captures a really powerful moment, because it's the same foundation that causes two very different reactions. See, some people were looking at that foundation as it was just getting started, and they were remembering the splendor of Solomon's temple, how big it was, how grand it was, and they're seeing this foundation, and they're like, this is nothing like Solomon's temple was, and they wept. But others who were standing there, who had no really memory of what Solomon's temple was like. They saw the exact same foundation and they rejoiced at what the possibilities could be. The difference wasn't in what they were looking at. The difference was how they were seeing it. And church speaks to where many of us are today. Sometimes we start the beginning of a year and man, we really want to begin. And maybe you're stumbling through your first prayers for your prodigal sons and daughters. You know, maybe you're really struggling with, man, I don't understand how this is all gonna come together in my marriage. Like, what difference could this possibly really make? And we get discouraged. Some of you, you know, last week Mark gave us a charge, man, we need to be in the Word of God. And for you, you're looking at how thick the Bible is and you're like, man, what's one chapter really gonna do? And we get discouraged because it seems so small in the beginning compared to what the dream could be. But you ought to understand that God wants to change how you see your small beginning. He wants you to understand that the size of the start never dictates the size of the finished product that He brings. God wants to change how we see our small beginnings. So now we get a glimpse of, okay, God's viewing this differently than I am. Like, He sees it as like, man, this is the seed of something greater in the future. You might be wondering, but how does it actually work? Like, how in the world does God take my small beginning and turn it into something of significance? Like, how does that happen? Well, that leads us to our second truth. Number two is that God's power works through our small beginnings. Look at Zechariah chapter 4 again, but look at verse 6. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Now this scripture reveals something crucial about how God works with us. Notice what it doesn't say. It does not say, "Not by might nor by power, but only by my spirit." It doesn't say that because it's relational. It's a partnership. When we take our faithful small steps, He adds His supernatural power to it. That's what makes the difference, friends. Think about this. When Jesus fed the 5,000, He didn't just like, boom, all of a sudden McDonald's appeared. No, there was a little boy that came and He gave something, His five fish and loaves, right? And then Jesus worked the miracle. When Jesus was at that wedding in Cana, and you turn the water into wine, remember He told the servants, hey, go fill those jugs with water. Like, you got a part to play. And then the water was turned to wine. And then, friends, think about Lazarus. As Lazarus was in the grave and Jesus raised him from the dead, Jesus said, hey, you guys got to roll that stone back. See, they had a part to play. It's a partnership with God. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Man, this is a beautiful paradox of our walking with God. He's all powerful, yet He chooses to use the weak, you and me, to accomplish beginnings. And friends, you need to know this. He doesn't need our small steps, but listen, He delights in using them. Man, He doesn't need my little bitty baby step, but He loves it to be able to use them for what He's accomplishing. And this partnership with God, it's foundational. But friends, it gets better and better. Not only is God interested in partnering with us, but he also gives us a helper, a personal helper along the way. So let's look at the Holy Spirit's role in transforming our small steps into something that God has dreamed. Look in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the helper, everybody say helper. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give you power. No, he guides you through the process of what God's doing in your faithful steps. So understand, when you take that first faithful step, man, God is not watching on TV in heaven. No, he is literally through the person of the Holy Spirit right there with you. Look at Romans 8, 26. It says, likewise, the who? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit's here to help you. Now listen, we got to understand the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus doesn't wait for you and I to figure it all out. No. He meets us in our small beginnings. Like some of you in this room, you know, you might be thinking, you know, I can't really come to God yet. Like, I got to get my life sorted out. There's things in my life I got to get, you know, figured out and sorted. I need to live a little better in this area of my life, and then I can come before God. And I am not, like, I'm not making fun of your thinking, but that's ridiculous. That's like saying, okay, when I get healthy, I'm gonna go to the doctor. That's not what the doctor's for, right? Just like everything else that God does, salvation starts small. It is a step of faith. It's the first step of faith. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. It's a simple confession. It's words of faith, a heart that turns toward God. And it might seem like a really small thing, but you got to understand it is the beginning of a journey into eternity. It's a small step. So we know then that God partners with us in our small beginnings, bringing his power to our faithful steps. But you still may be hesitant. You may have the thought, man, okay, like, but what happens if I start small and it just stays small? Like, what if this is a struggle, like, for this step and this, like, what if it just never grows into some big dream? Well, that's why you need to understand the third truth. And the third truth, if you remember, I said, God has a promise for small beginnings. God has a promise for small beginnings. Look at back in our text, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 now. It says, for whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice. I want us to look at this promise super careful here, because notice that God isn't rebuking those who feel discouraged by small beginnings. That's not what he's doing. In fact, it's just the opposite. He's promising them, even if you feel like this is a very small first step, I'm promising you that you shall rejoice. Why? Why does he make this promise? Because as we take those steps, we will observe, we will watch, we will be hand in hand, arm in arm with God who brings miracle after miracle because of his presence and his power. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 13, verse 31. So the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and he sowed it into his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. Now, for all you green thumb gardeners in here, I hope you realize God is not giving you gardening instructions. He's talking about a scriptural truth, a fundamental process of how the kingdom of God works. The size of the seed does not dictate the outcome. The size of the seed, the size of the beginning, does not dictate the outcome. In fact, the principle here in this scripture really is plant the seed. That's the first step, man. Plant the seed. God promises us that we can rejoice. And I'm thankful that he doesn't just promise that the dream will be fulfilled. I'm thankful that he also provides insight during this process of how this takes place. See, day by day, small amount by small amount, the Holy Spirit is right there with us, helping us to remain faithful to our small beginnings. Listen to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, but the path of the righteous, that's you and me, is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Man, this scripture illustrates beautifully how God operates in our lives. Now think about the sunrise every morning. You can go out and you can watch it come up and it's a little bit. And then it's a little bit more. And pretty soon there's like faint light that begins to fill. And then it gets a little brighter. Literally minute by minute it's getting brighter. But yet the change in the brightness almost is imperceptible to us until all of a sudden we realize the sun's up and it's full bright. It doesn't just turn on. And that's how God often moves in our lives, little by little. God's working even when we don't see it. And some of you are in that dawn moment. You've taken the initial step. You've said, God, what could I do in this next year that will be different? Maybe you've started family devotions. Like you've stepped into that. I remember what that's like with little kids. Like you're reading scripture and all of a sudden you're like, sit down, be quiet, don't touch that. Get that out of your mouth. You read it. I can't read, Dad. And I know the frustrations, okay? But you've started that small step. Maybe it's beginning to be a part of serving in some capacity in ministry. You've taken that initial step. Maybe you've taken that first step of reaching out to someone to reconcile a broken relationship because you know that's what God has called you to do. And you know what? Sometimes it feels like nothing is happening. Right? But just like the dawning sun, moment by moment, God is steadily and faithfully working. He's doing his part. See, knowing these truths about God and how he works in our small beginnings is essential because it propels us to keep going. But friends, you have to hear this. Knowing without doing is nothing because nothing gets accomplished. Listen, knowledge without action will never transform our lives. So I want to give you some super practical steps today that you can quickly jot down. And these are going to be things that allow you to partner with God in your own small beginnings. They're not just, you know, good ideas, okay? These are things that are going to help you put your faith into action, okay? And I really want you over the next 21 days, like, use this time of our prayer and fasting to be asking the Lord, you know, God, what do I need to add into my life? What is something, God, that maybe I need to let go of in my life this year? God, I just want to stand before you, and during this time of fasting, I want to ignore some stuff so I can hear from you. God, you just tell me. Man, what are you dreaming for me in 2025? And when he speaks, I promise you follow some of these steps. It will help you to get past some of those small steps. All right, number one, write down your God-sized dream. Write down your God-sized dream. Listen, don't edit it. Don't try to simplify it. Just write it down. Number two, identify the smallest possible first step. Identify the smallest possible first step. If God is saying you need to get healthy and you need to lose 50 pounds, then you know what's the first small step that you need to take? Maybe it's you need to get, you know, healthy and you need to run a little bit and exercise. So maybe you need to go buy an exercise outfit. Maybe you need to go buy a nice pair of shorts. Okay, identify the smallest possible first step, all right? Number three, commit to that step for 30 days. So every day, go get your new shorts and put them on and say, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to lose 50 pounds this year, so I'm putting on my pants. Do it for 30 days. Just commit to it, all right? Number four, trust God with the growth. Trust God with the growth. See, our job is to be faithful to what he speaks to us. God's job is to produce fruit. Our job is to be faithful. God's job is to grow the fruit. It was we, you know, wrap up today. I want us just to think back to, you know, that image of Mother Teresa, like, probably on her hands and knees in the dirt in Calcutta, writing letters with a stick. That's how it all began. I mean, think about how God, as he decided, like, man, I need to save mankind. He didn't send legions and armies of heavens to the earth. He sent a baby in a manger. One of my clearest memories that I have of Julia and I's time as pastors in Clinton, you know, we came because, man, the church was just, it was crazy. It was like everything you read in scripture was just happening. It was like God's promises were just happening. People were getting, like, saved. It wasn't church growth by, hey, come out of this church and come to this church. It was like people that in town, other people were like, man, there ain't no way that person would ever go to church. There's no way that person will ever get saved. And those are the people that were getting saved. Watching people who had literal physical healings in their bodies, and they were telling coworkers about them, and it was transforming businesses. Like, listen, God's had a dream, and it was happening before we ever got there. The church is growing. And, you know, we show up, and I remember early on, I drove out to the church's property, which, another miracle, like, property, it was, I don't know, over $1 million for this thing, and suddenly it dropped to tens of thousands of dollars. And just miracles, right? God was doing something. There was a dream happening. And, like, I'm sitting there in the in this property, and I'm looking out over the property, and I remember God saying to me, I'm going to use you. I want you to build the church, the physical building. Like, that's why you're here. And listen, I knew that when I came that they were building a church. I have a part in that. But this was the moment that God's dream was spoken directly to me, where God said, this is what you're going to do. And I remember, like, when God said that, I was like, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I guess I built my dog a doghouse once. So that's a pretty good start, I guess. Like, God, I don't know what to do. It's a $6 million project, and I built, like, this $200 doghouse. Like, I don't think I'm qualified. I'll never forget his response to me. I'm sitting there and I'm just looking out over the property at the spot where there was nothing. And God said, go to work. I'm asking God, I don't know how to do this, God. What do I do? And God says, go to work. He was saying, hey, just do what you've been doing. Just like every day before this, you go to work. Every day after this, you go to work and you be faithful to what I've called you to for that day. And the Holy Spirit helped me, spoke to me. Man, I surrounded myself with people that knew way more than me, and I allowed God to use them and speak to me through them. And, you know, after a couple of years of that process, I was in that same spot, and I looked out, and I remember a service where, man, it was packed. There were so many people. The parking lot was full, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm marveling at this 49,000-square-foot building that I didn't know what I was doing. And God's people were going inside, and I could hear the music thumping in there. God's people were worshiping him because his dream was fulfilled, because God accomplishes extraordinary things through ordinary beginnings. Because God sees the end from the beginning. Because God's power works through our small beginnings. Because God promises us things, joy in our small beginnings. I remember that day that the church, you know, opened, and I'm sitting there across the way looking, and joy is just filling my heart, because I didn't do this. It was watching God fulfill his dream through my just small, faithful steps. And you know, I think some of us probably came here today and we feel maybe a little bit overwhelmed with maybe what God is speaking to us for this next year. So I want to pray for you this morning. If you'd bow your heads, close your eyes. And God, I know that so many in this room, God, probably, man, end of December, God, you start stirring on their heart for what lies ahead in 25. And God, for some of us, it's created an uneasy feeling in us. For some of us, we're nervous about it. For some of us, we can't believe the audacious goal or the audacious dream that you're dreaming into us, that you're speaking to us. God, I pray today that we might understand that, man, the end of the dream is not our part. That God, each of us in this place would just simply say yes to that simple first step, that small step. I know some people in this room right now, you're realizing that your first step of 2025 is that you need to commit your life to Christ. You need to accept what he's done. You need to become a follower of Jesus. I can't think of a better Sunday than the first Sunday of the year to say, that's my decision. That's my first step. And if that's you today, man, I'm just inviting you to just boldly raise your hand and let me see, because I want to pray with you. It's an exciting thing when we take that first step of faith. If that's you, just let me see, because I want to pray for you. Listen, I want each and every one of us to pray a prayer, because I know sometimes, you know, we're like, I don't really want to raise my hand. I need you to hear me. God knows your heart today. And if that's you, if that's your heart, is to begin your life with Christ today, we're going to pray. All you need to, we read the scripture. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe with our heart. He's faithful. He's just. He's going to forgive us. So church, let's pray this prayer together. If you'd repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you waited for me. Thank you for helping me start small today. I want to live for you, Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you are in this room today, and you know that God is calling you to do something different in 2025. Some of you, God is, man, he's calling you to big things, and it's making you really nervous. For some of you, you feel like God's really been speaking to you about a faithful step. It may not be this grand thing. It may simply be like what Mark talked about. You need to read your Bible every day. But you know you have to start. You know you need to make the decision to take the first step. And if that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I'm in that same thing. God's been speaking to me, and I need to take the first step. Would you lift your hand and say, God, this is my commitment. I'm going to take the first step. I'm going to take the first step to God, what you're calling me to do this year. Let me pray for you. Father, every hand that's been raised in this place, God, I thank you that you are doing something inside of us. You are stirring. You are speaking. God, you're reminding us that, God, we can accomplish the things that, God, you call us to. God, that you'll equip us. God, that your Holy Spirit will go with us. Father, help us this week, as we take these small steps of just faithful obedience, God, that we'd understand you see the end from the beginning. God, that there's a power at work in these small beginnings. And God, you promised joy in our small beginnings. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In your name, amen. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come. And if you are making any decision of a beginning step today, I just encourage you, man, find one of these on our prayer team and invite them to pray with you and over you about what God's calling you to do this year. Would you stand with me as our worship team just leads us in worship now?
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message was inspiring and encouraging. For more information about this message or about all things Crosspoint, check out our Facebook and head to our website at www.crosspointwaverly.com.